Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, Alaska Campaign Finance Edition. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On November 25th, 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a summary opinion in Thompson v. Hebdon, a case involving campaign finance law. Specifically at issue was whether Alaska's political contribution limits are consistent with the court's First Amendment precedents. Currently, Alaska's law imposes, among other things, a $500 annual limit on individual contributions to a political candidate and to any group other than a political party. The Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals upheld the limits, ruling that they were drawn narrowly to prevent quid pro quo corruption or the appearance of such corruption. The Supreme Court, in a per curiam opinion, granted the petition of cert, vacated the decision below, and remanded the case back to the Ninth Circuit to revisit. And now, to discuss the case, we have Derek Mueller, Professor of Law at Pepperdine University Caruso School of Law.
The Supreme Court's decision in Thompson v. Hebdon offers an interesting opportunity for the Supreme Court to essentially convert one of its previous plurality opinions into a majority opinion, or at least instruct lower courts to treat that plurality opinion as binding upon them. The case involves some contribution limits that have been enacted in Alaska. In 2003, the Alaska legislature tried to increase the amount of contributions that individuals could give to candidates, raising the amount, which had been $500, quite low compared to other states, up to $1,000. And in 2006, the people of Alaska by ballot initiative passed a statute reducing the amount they can contribute back down to $500 per year. They also said that non-political party groups could contribute only $1,000 to candidates, and also said that non-residents could only contribute $3,000 in total in the aggregate to candidates running in the state of Alaska for office. So this case was challenged as being too low, as abridging the freedom of speech, the First Amendment rights of those who want to engage in the political process, and a challenge was raised. The Ninth Circuit considered, and the Ninth Circuit, in a divided opinion, ended up striking down the non-resident aggregate limits. That is, you can receive more than $3,000 from non-residents when you're running for office in Alaska. But it ended up upholding the other provisions of the law, including the $500 per year limitation on individuals contributing to political candidates. Now, one of the salient features, however, is that the Supreme Court had, back in 2006, issued a decision in a case called Randall versus Sorrell, dealing with Vermont's contribution limits, which were at the time quite low. And the Supreme Court, in a divided opinion, where Justice Breyer wrote an opinion for the plurality, and some other justices, Justice Kennedy, Justices Thomas and Scalia, concurring in the judgment, all agreed that Vermont's contribution limits were far too low. At the time, Vermont's limits were $400 for candidates for governor, $300 for state senator, $200 for state representative. And the court in that case listed a bunch of circumstances that it described as warning signs, in Justice Breyer's opinion, warning signs that the contribution limits were a little bit too low and abridged the free speech rights of the contributors, and that candidates were entitled to receive more money as they're seeking political office. The Ninth Circuit, when it was considering Alaska's ban, wasn't sure how binding Randall versus Sorrell was upon them. And a footnote in the opinion said that they were not going to follow the Supreme Court's plurality opinion in Randall against Sorrell because it had its own precedent to handle these kinds of cases in the Ninth Circuit and was not going to heed the Supreme Court in this case. So the case is then raised before the Supreme Court, which issued a per curiam, a relatively brief opinion, saying essentially that many other circuits have considered Randall as relevant in reviewing campaign finance restrictions, and the Ninth Circuit ought to consider Randall versus Sorrell when considering Alaska's contribution limits. It also suggested that Alaska's contributions are too low, pointing out that the $500 contribution limits are substantially lower than ones that the Supreme Court has upheld. Actually, they're about a third of the amount that the Supreme Court has upheld in other cases. They're much lower than other state limitations, including the lowest of any state limitation for governor or lieutenant governor, that it's not adjusted for inflation. Some hints from the Supreme Court that this was going to be problematic on review. And Justice Ginsburg wrote a brief paragraph separate from the per curiam opinion to suggest that there are other features in Alaska's regime that aren't problematic, that were in the Vermont regime in Randall versus Sorrell, but the case is then sent back for the Ninth Circuit to consider on remand. So one of the interesting things about the opinion is that it essentially tells lower courts to heed a plurality opinion with essentially unanimity from the Supreme Court, that that is the opinion that is controlling and the kind of thing that lower courts ought to consider when they're evaluating individual contribution limits placed upon individuals who are seeking to contribute to candidates seeking public office. So my hunch is the strong suggestion from the Supreme Court will result in Alaska's regime being struck down or maybe a legislative fix that would modify it at some point in the future if the ballot initiative is struck down. But it's also a suggestion that the plurality opinion in Randall versus Sorrell is to be taken quite seriously by lower courts.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.